Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Finally, someone willing and able to blow the top off hidden healthcare and hospital dangers. She's provocative, upbeat, balanced, fearless, fresh. Pat has over 20 years of experience as a professional public speaker and knows how to approach this important subject with enough humor and wit to keep you informed, entertained, and empowered. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello, and welcome to our Mother's Day edition of Speak Up and Stay Alive, a radio program heard in 27 states and worldwide on iHeartRadio. Just goes to show you that people everywhere realize the need to learn about healthcare and hospital safety before they need to know about it. And this is America's favorite place to do just that. I'm your hostess, Pat Rulo, and always happy to be here with you to share what I know. And since this is Mother's Day weekend, I thought I'd share a bit of my family with you, my mom and my daughter. And they will be here in a few moments to play a fun game, Does Mother Know Best or Is She a Pest? So that's coming up. Now, while they're getting ready with their headsets and all, let me tell you this. I just read that mothers pass on an average of 41 pearls of wisdom to their children, and that these nuggets of advice passed on from mothers stay with children into adulthood. The findings emerged following a study of 2,000 adults by Clinton's Cards. Tim Fares, a spokesperson for the firm, said, "Even as adults, we continue to go back to mom for her wisdom and advice on daily scenarios because, as she says herself, mom knows best." The study also revealed the majority of kids always remember the advice their mothers passed down to them over the years. In fact, advice from mothers is so precious, 7 out of 10 adults regularly pass it on to their own children. And 48% of respondents continue to think their mothers offer the best advice despite being grown up. Tim Fares added, "In an age where we're bombarded with rules, guidance, and expert advice, it can often be the little things that our moms say that prove to be the most memorable and help guide us through life." Furthermore, the study found 2/3 of people often catch themselves mid-sentence and think, "Oh, I sound like my mom." And 43% often think they are turning into their mothers. Have any of you thought that before? I know I have. But more than 3/4 of those people who have their own children hope these pearls of wisdom continue to be remembered and passed on to future generations. Well, this reminds me of the story of a young mother who was preparing a ham for the holidays. Prior to placing it in the baking pan, she cut off both ends of the ham. When her daughter asked why she did that, the young mother replied, "Well, that's how Grandma and Great-Grandma always did it." Years later, the daughter asked the great-grandmother why she cut off both sides of the ham prior to cooking. "Did it make the ham taste better?" "Oh my, no, child. My pan was too small, so I had to cut off the ends to make it fit." So there you go. Mother's wisdom, right? How's that for wisdom? Well, with that, I have a short story to tell you called Mother's Wisdom. I'm not sure who wrote it, but I'm sure it will resonate with you as we've all either heard these things or, sadly, said them ourselves. Here we go. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me religion. You better pray that will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me more logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. My mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there till all that spinach is finished. My mother taught me about weather. It looks as if a tornado swept through your room. My mother taught me about hypocrisy. If I've told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate. My mother taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. My mother taught me about anticipation. Oh, just wait till we get home. My mother taught me about medical science. Don't make that face or it will freeze in that position. My mother taught me think ahead. If you don't pass your spelling test, you'll never get a good job. My mother taught me humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about wisdom of age. When you get to be my age, you will understand. And my all-time favorite, my mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out to be just like you. Well, the bottom line, moms are important people. So let's celebrate all of the silly, smart, serious, and sometimes downright senseless things they may say. It's a right and a privilege. And speaking of privilege, coming up, my mom and daughter will be here to debunk some health-related mother's words of wisdom. So stay with us because a stitch in time saves nine. After the show, be sure to visit the website speakupandstayalive.com for more life-saving information. Plus, that's where you can purchase the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide. Bring the book to the hospital with you. It's the best way to stand out and in a positive way. And remember, we donate 2 handmade pillowcases to either a troop member in Afghanistan or to a local veteran's shelter for every book sold with your name on it as the donor. So for a mere $20, you benefit, and so does some well-deserving warrior. Give a meaningful and useful gift that really says, I care. Give the gift of healthcare safety. Purchase the book, the patient safety logs, and throw in some of those icebreaker cards. It's a one-size-fits-all present that everybody needs. You can order online at speakupandstayalive.com, or you can request by email at speak@speakupandstayalive.com, or call me 440-725-5462.
Okay, we're rolling.
All right. Everyone ready?
Go.
Ready. All right.
Ready as I'll ever be.
Oh my gosh, that's a good sign, folks. You're listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. And today, in honor of Mother's Wisdom, we are going to finally get to the truth about some health-related advice given by mothers for decades. We have a special game to celebrate Mother's Day. Does Mother know best, or is she a pest? Anyway, today I have my mom with us and my daughter, who just, by the way, is expecting her first child, a little girl. So how appropriate to gather my mom and my daughter and an unborn granddaughter to celebrate Mother's Day. And I am going to challenge them and Bob and Eric with some common mother's advice. So let's see if they can debunk some myths that your mother may have told you. So welcome to the show, Mom.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on my favorite show with my favorite host.
She had to say that, folks. As many of you listeners...
That's worth $5.
Uh-oh.
As many of you listeners may know, my mom is the reason why I wrote the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide, and why I host this radio show. She survived some amazingly horrible hospital errors, as you may know, that led to 4 months of hospital mayhem. So having her on the show today is a real treat, both for her and me. And welcome to the show to my daughter, Chris.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're glad you're here, too. And you're going to be a new mommy.
Yes, I am. Pretty soon.
When is pretty soon? Tell all of the listening world.
It's July 3rd.
All right. We're going to have a new...
No, it's July 12th.
The 4th of July.
Fourth of July.
It's going to be July the 12th. You can forget it.
Whenever. We're all waiting in great anticipation. And who else is playing with us today?
Well, I'm Bob from Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and a former financial planner.
And?
I'm Eric. I'm a regionally famous radio producer from Northeast Ohio.
Can't get any better than regionally famous, right, guys?
I agree.
Let's go for it.
Right.
All right. Now, is everyone ready to play Does Mother Know Best, or Is She a Pest?
We think so.
All right. Let's do it.
Now, remember, as you hear some of these common truths or non-truths that your mother might have told you, don't get upset with her. She simply gave you the best advice of the time. All right, here we go. Does Mother Know Best, or Is She a Pest? Question number one. Put on a hat or you'll catch your death of cold, says every mama as her children run outside into cold weather. Going out in the cold with a wet head will make you sick. Does mother know best, or is she a pest?
I think, being a granny, I would wear a hat going outside because that's where the heat escapes from your head. Okay. So if you wear a hat, you're less likely to get a cold.
I think that the cold germ causes a cold. So even if you go out without a hat, you're not going to get sick unless you catch a cold from someone else.
So you think she's a pest, right?
She's a pest.
All right. What do you think, Bobby?
I think she's probably it could be either way, in my opinion. If you go outside, you might run into somebody that has a cold and sneezes on your head, and then you could catch one. So who knows?
Wear a hat and forget it.
What do you say, Eric?
I'm a pest for the same reason that your daughter did. It's really the germs that are responsible, and you're more likely to get a cold in the winter due to staying indoors for longer periods of time.
I still say wear a hat. If it's cold, your little ears are cold.
Mom,
I won't give up.
Mom, you are a pest. That's for,
that's for sure.
No. She is a pest. Ooh, is that a fly buzzing around?
Could be a mosquito.
Is that another fly?
It's one of those fly flies.
Sorry, that's not good advice, Mom. Studies prove that people who are chilled are no more likely to get sick than those who are not, and a wet or dry head makes no difference. Some people have heard that you lose around 98% of your body heat through your head, which is why people say you have to wear a hat in the cold, except that you don't. As reported, the amount of heat released by any part of the body depends mostly on the surface area. So on a cold day, you would lose more heat through an exposed leg or arm than a bare head, unless, of course, you have an oversized head.
I'm a pest.
I think what you do is just go barefooted and let it go through your feet.
Oh, God. Mom, don't make any sense.
I'll still wear a hat, though, because, it's cold, and I don't want my ears to get frostbite or anything like that.
Thank you, Eric.
So I'll wear the hat.
All right, guys. We did good with that. All right. Now we have Does Mother Know Best, or Is She a Pest? Question number two. A well-meaning mother-in-law tells her daughter-in-law, oh, don't worry about too much sugar. It doesn't affect behavior. It does not affect behavior. So does mother know best, or is she a pest?
I'm going to say she knows best on this, because I think sugar does cause somebody to be hyper. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm saying too much sugar makes me hyper.
Okay, and the mother's saying that it doesn't. Mother's saying, don't worry, it doesn't affect behavior. So you're saying she knows best, or she's a pest?
She's a pest.
Okay.
She's a pest. I would say that sugar does make them a little bit hyper.
No. I agree. Makes them hyper and then makes them crash.
I've been hearing the opposite, so I'm going to go with best.
All right. Eric is correct. Mother knows best. Surprise.
I'm going to give that an upside down, Mom. Wow. Oh.
I'm a pest again.
The Journal of American Medical Association published a review of 23 studies on the subject of kids and sugar, and the conclusion is sugar does not affect behavior. That's because so many parents, and therefore children, expect that eating sweets to make them hyper. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Apparently, the way we think that we should feel has a lot to do with how we actually do feel.
Mm. Interesting. I have no idea.
I'm 0 for 2.
Me too.
But after saying that, though, scientists do warn that sugar can make you dumb. Studies show that a high fructose diet harms the brain as well as the body. This is something new. High fructose corn syrup is commonly found in sodas, condiments, applesauce, baby food, and other processed snacks. And the average American consumes more than 40 pounds of high fructose corn syrup per year, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So remember, what you eat affects how you think. And stay away from high fructose corn syrup.
Wow.
That was good to know. Thank you.
Yeah?
You heard that, didn't you, Chris?
I did hear that. I'm going to make my own baby food.
You are going to make your own baby food, right?
Yes. That way I know what's in it.
I know. I made baby food for you, Chris.
And you're not dumb.
And you're not dumb. And what about you, Eric, and the 40 pounds of high fructose corn syrup per year? Are you one of those people?
No. I did for a long time drink like the Pepsi, like the regular Pepsi with the high fructose corn syrup, but not anymore.
All right, good boy. All right, does mother know best or is she a pest number three? Mother warns, stop cracking your knuckles. You will get arthritis. Does mother know best or is she a pest?
I think she's a pest because I crack my knuckles all the time and it hadn't bothered me a bit.
I was going to say, I know that that's an old saying. I've heard it. But I'm like Bob. I used to always crack my knuckles. My hands
are
beautiful.
And your hands are gorgeous.
Thank you.
Yeah. So she's I heard from my chiropractor that it depends how you crack your knuckles. If you pull your finger or your toe straight out, that's okay. But if you bend it, that kind of creates like a grinding, wearing motion that then can cause arthritis.
Gosh.
I don't know if that's true, but
I don't know.
I heard about this a few years ago that was a myth, and that was such good news to hear. I was so happy.
All right, guys, according to my sources, she is a pest. They say that you will not get arthritis from cracking your knuckles. There is no evidence of such an association. And in limited studies performed, there was no change in occurrence of arthritis between habitual knuckle crackers and non-crackers, but there have been several reports in medical literature that have linked knuckle cracking with injury of the ligaments surrounding the joint or dislocation of the tendons, but supposedly not arthritis. Although what Chris is saying sounds like it could make some sense.
Yeah. I cracked mine for an awfully long time.
By cracky?
No.
We're not going there.
No, we're not going there. That's not still appropriate for the air.
No FCC. That's a non-FCC joke. All right, guys. Does mother know best or is she a pest? Question number four. Mom reminds us, be sure to brush your teeth after every meal or else you'll lose your teeth. Does mother know best or is she a pest?
Mother knows best. You should brush after every meal because food does stay in there and you don't really realize that it is there.
Okay.
It may seem like a difficult thing to do, but it's a good idea.
All right, Josie.
This sounds like a trick question, but
oh, now you sound like me.
You think mother knows best? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to say pest because, well, I've heard like you should do it, but not like right after the meal.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. They say at least wait 15 minutes to an hour after the meal before you brush your teeth.
All right. We're good.
Mm. Well, I didn't mean go run up there and do it right away. I think it's important to when the child gets a little older to floss. I think flossing is more important sometimes than brushing.
This is probably true, especially if you have tight teeth like we do. Once again, she is a pest, and here's why. You guys got it. Rushing to brush immediately after every meal may seem like a great way to keep your oral health in check, but according to a New York City periodontist, it's better to hold off. Why? Because food can leave acid on your teeth, which can weaken the enamel, and brushing while the enamel is in a weakened state can actually scrub the enamel away. To dislodge any food particles that may remain after eating, he recommends simply rinsing your mouth out with water and saving the brushing for morning and night. That way, when you do brush, be sure to do so in a circular motion. This will improve your chances of removing harmful bacteria between the teeth and gums. Brushing up and down or back and forth, on the other hand, can leave behind harmful bacteria, causing gum disease, while applying too much pressure can lead to receding gums. I mean, like, there is a real art to brushing teeth, huh?
I think what you said about rinsing and then doing it morning and night, I think that's an excellent idea.
I don't brush anymore. I just use banana peels.
Well, supposedly that works.
Banana peels whiten your teeth automatically.
Eric has the visual. Did you whiten your teeth with banana peels yet, Eric?
Have you ever seen
that? No, I just wash my mouth out with soda before I go to bed.
Have you noticed how white monkeys' teeth are?
Monkeys.
Next time I go to the zoo, I'll look it up.
Okay.
Check it out, Bob.
If they bare their teeth at you, that's a reason to be scared.
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, you're not looking for the whiteness at that point. You're getting out of town, folks. All right. Does mother know best, or is she a pest? Question number 5. I've heard many a mom say this. Stopped fidgeting. It's annoying. Does mother know best, or is she a pest? Well, that's kind of an odd question.
It is an odd question.
What's that have to do with health?
Well, it might have something to do.
Fidgeting?
Fidgeting, yes. I agree. If they're fidgeting, maybe there's another problem that you're not aware of.
Yeah, they got to go to the bathroom.
Well, that could be it. That could be it.
What do you guys think about fidgeting? Is there any benefit to fidgeting?
No.
Probably burns more calories than not fidgeting.
I'm trying to think of what exactly fidgeting is.
Oh, my God.
It's only a half hour show.
It's sort of like squirming around.
Well, Chris, you were right. Yes, it helps you burn an extra 300 calories a day, fidgeting
Whoa.
Does, according to a research from the American Council on Exercise. So I guess that's a good thing. We should let's all fidget.
So is well, that, does that mean mom's not a pest? Or
yeah, I think that she knows best. Or does she?
No, she's a pest because she's trying to stop the fidgeting, right?
That's right. So if you have overweight kids, just tell them to fidget. I have no idea.
Yeah, give them a little Debbie and say fidget.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what fidgeting is, though. Is that like flailing your limbs everywhere?
Flailing your
or
limbs.
Ceaselessly dancing.
Ceaselessly.
Tapping or making your foot go.
Yeah, swinging your foot.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know we would be.
It's kin to slurping.
No.
All right, guys. Does mother know best, or is she a pest? Question number 6. Moms tell their children everywhere that it's not nice to swear. Does mother know best, or is she a pest?
Mother knows best. No, don't swear. That just shows you have a lack of better words to use.
Oh, okay. What do you guys
think? I imagine that the act of swearing releases anger and stress, which is a good thing, but maybe you need some less offensive words to use that get the same job done.
Okay.
That's true.
That's a nice answer, guys.
I'd say something similar, like context is everything. I mean, if you're swearing at somebody to insult them, you know, and not just like, it's not just like you just banged your thumb with a hammer.
Yeah.
You know, then that's not nice, but.
All right. I think you're on.
You could always find words to substitute.
Yeah.
Shucks. What do you say, Bobby?
I'm at all. I'm just going to let this one slide.
All right. Well, Eric was kind of onto something. When I think that mom is a pest and she knows best, it's kind of a, could go both ways. Here's some info, though, that might change your mind if you think that's not a good thing to do. Research at Keele University in England found that when volunteers put their hands in ice water, they withstood the pain longer when they swore. So it's kind of what you said, Eric. Yeah. If you hit your hand with a hammer and you swear, it doesn't tend to hurt so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll continue swearing.
Okay, good. It's not on this show. All right, guys, couple more. Does mother know best, or is she a pest? Question number 7. A well-meaning mother warns, if you cross your eyes, they'll stay that way. Does mother know best, or is she a pest?
She's a pest. It's not that you can cross your eyes all you want. It's cross your T's, too.
Cross your eyes.
And dot your eyes. She's probably a pest in that regard, because kids are just going to do that anyway, just for fun.
Okay.
I think so, too.
All right.
I'm going to say pest because of life experience.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Are you crossing your eyes at me?
Okay, now I am.
Oh, gosh, I could see that. All right, you're right. She's a pest. The truth is, there is no harm in voluntary eye crossing, according to an ophthalmology person at the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine. But if you notice your child doing this a lot, he might have other vision problems. Or just trying to irritate you while he's fidgeting.
Right.
All right, here's does mother know best, or is she a pest? Question number 8. You should feed a cold and starve a fever. Does mother know best, or is she a pest?
Feed a cold and starve a fever. That, again, is an old-time saying, and I don't have any basis for saying which is right and which isn't.
Okay.
I'm actually going to say best because I think I heard somewhere that was actually true.
All right, Bobby?
I don't know. I'm going to say best, too. I think you can starve a fever.
What do you think, Mom, to be?
That's a tough one, but I know that's always what I want to do. I feel better when I eat when I have a cold, but when I have the fever, I just don't want to. So maybe there's a reason your body doesn't want to. So I'm going to say she knows best.
Okay. Who said pest? No one voted for pest? No. Oh, all right. Well, she's a pest because in both cases, it is important to eat and especially to drink. Staying hydrated is the most important thing to do because you lose a lot of fluids when you're ill, and there's no need for special beverages containing electrolytes like Gatorade unless you're severely dehydrated from vomiting or diarrhea. So I guess just kind of use whatever moves you. Like Chris said, if you feel like eating, eat. If you feel like drinking, drink. But drinking is extremely important.
Fluid.
Got it.
You got it. A lot of fluid.
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 It's not one of our favorite words. All right.
No.
Does mother know best or is she a pest? Question number 9. You shouldn't swim for an hour after eating. And I remember that one. Does mother know best or is she a pest?
She's a pest. That's been proven. It didn't make a bit of difference.
Okay.
Here again, that's an old time saying. I remember saying that. I had a neighbor that wouldn't let her daughter go out after she took a bath.
Oh.
Just because she was
might catch a cold.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, but I don't think that's correct. I think she's a pest.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she's a pest too.
I think they used to say you'd get cramps if you went in there too soon.
Yeah.
Get a stitch.
What do you think, Eric?
Yeah, she's a pest. Actually, I think I heard about that at the same time that I heard about the knuckle cracking. So I was happy to hear about that being a myth as well.
You guys are all right. It is another pest. After you eat, more blood flows to the digestive system and away from the muscles. And so the thinking was that if you exercise strenuously right after eating, that lack of blood would cause you to cramp up and drown. But that won't happen. You might have less energy to swim laps, but it shouldn't cause a problem with your ability to tread water or play. So we're safe. We can all eat a huge meal and jump in the water.
Yeah, maybe you don't want to in your bathing suit.
Oh, yeah, not in your bathing suit. Yeah, kind of stick out stomach, right?
That's right.
Are you through with all these questions?
No, why? Are you getting bored?
No, I'm not. I was just gonna give an overall statement.
Oh, you can in a moment. Hang on, Mom. All right. I think this is the last one. Does mother know best or is she a pest? Question number 10. Germ-conscious moms insist, do not double dip your chip into the salsa. Does mother know best or is she a pest?
Mother knows best. I don't think anybody should double dip. After it's been in your mouth, I don't want it to be in mine.
You got it. Any other thoughts?
I agree. That's gross.
We know some people that like to double dip, don't we, Chris?
Yes, I do.
I double dip at home when it's my own.
Yeah, if it's your own, that's fine. Tastes better.
That's how I reserve the bowl of chip dip for myself.
Oh, that's a tactic.
No double dipping.
Yeah.
You are smart. You guys are right. She does know best. It does contribute to cross-contamination. In a study, scientists took a bite of cracker and then dipped it into salsa, cheese dip, chocolate, syrup, and water. And they did the same with a fresh, unbitten cracker. Then they measured bacteria in the dips and the volunteers' mouths. On average, 3 to 6 double dips transferred about 10,000 bacteria from the eater's mouth to the dip. And this is what I found interesting. Salsa picked up the most germs from double dipping.
Hmm.
Why would that be?
Well, it's more
the wettest of the dips or something? Or
it's more liquid. I don't know.
Yeah.
Could be the acid content in the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it does something to the bacteria.
Yeah, it makes it grow.
Any thoughts on that one, Eric?
You know, I'm not really a salsa expert. I'm more into the French onion.
Oh, all right. Well,
no double dipping.
We'll talk about that later. All right, guys, and speaking of cross-contamination, here's the last. Does mother know best or is she a pest? Some moms believe in the 5-second rule. Food quickly picked up from the floor is safe to eat. Does mother know best or is she a pest?
I've heard that's true, that it takes more than 5 seconds for bacteria to get onto the food.
If you're quick, you're okay.
Yeah, I still wouldn't do it, but that's what I've heard.
As a general rule, I don't think I would do it either.
Okay.
I heard contradictory information that said it takes less than 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's a pest because I don't think you ought to.
All right. She is a pest. It's not true. Scientists have put the 5-second rule to test. They found that food that comes in contact with tile or a wood floor does pick up large amounts of bacteria. Food doesn't pick up many germs when it hits carpet, but it does pick up carpet fuzz.
Oh, wow.
and think if you have pets, all the hair that's on the floor.
Oh, all right. So we're not eating off the floor, right?
Good.
Okay.
I'm not going to eat anything off the floor.
All right. All right. Here's my final. Does mother know best or is she a pest? Reach out to your mother on Mother's Day. It just might add years to your life. Does mother know best or is she a pest?
She knows best.
She knows best.
Best.
It might add years to mom's life, too.
We all say best?
Yeah. Best.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mother knows best. It's true. When you do happy things for others, it has the effect of making you feel better about yourself. And we all know that happiness is tied to our health. So, everybody listening, pick up the phone and give your mommies a thank you. And sadly, if your mom is no longer here on this earth, all you do is give a look up and smile with gratitude, because that will warm your heart.
I'm going to give that an upside down mom. Wow. Oh.
Well, Mom, thank you for joining us today.
You're more than welcome. I enjoyed it, but I think the outcome of your test is mother's a pest.
Oh, no. That's the general consensus?
I don't think so.
No.
I thought most of your answers said she was a pest.
Wait till the bees fly in.
Oh, Chris, you're our newest mommy. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. That was fun.
It is fun. Just think of all you're going to learn within the next few years, huh?
Oh, my. Oh. I know.
It's a fun time, Chrissy.
Yeah, it's fun to be a mom, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, you wouldn't know that, Bob. Bob, thank you for being here
today. You're quite welcome. Thanks for having me.
Eric, thank you.
Yeah, and let me just reiterate to your mom, like you said in your intro, she's not really a pest. She's doing what she did based on the best info she had at the time.
Very good, Eric.
Absolutely. You're a good pest. Thank you, guys. And this is your mom talking, folks. Don't go anywhere. There's so much more you can learn about healthcare and hospital safety on America's favorite radio show, Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Yay, guys, you did good.
Okay. Thank you.
Yay.
Have fun.
It was fun.
That was very fun. I love this game.
Are you caring for a family member or a friend? Do you have caregiver burnout? Here are a few questions to ask yourself. Are you withdrawing from friends, family, and other loved ones? Feeling blue? Experiencing changes in sleeping patterns? Are you feeling irritable? Losing interest in activities you used to enjoy? Seeing changes in your appetite, weight, or both? Getting sick more often? Emotionally or physically exhausted? If you experience two or more of these symptoms, you may be experiencing caregiver burnout. Caregiver burnout is a state of physical, emotional, and mental exhaustion. And burnout can occur when home care providers don't get the help they need or if they try to do more than they are able to do. Caregivers are often so busy caring for others that they tend to neglect their own emotional, physical, and spiritual health. The demands on a caregiver's body, mind, and emotions can easily seem overwhelming, leading to fatigue and hopelessness, and ultimately, burnout. Other factors that can lead to caregiver burnout include role confusion. Sometimes it's difficult for a person to separate his or her role as a caregiver from their role as a spouse, employee, child, friend, or so on. Or unrealistic expectations. Many caregivers expect their involvement to have a positive effect on the health and happiness of the patient. And some caregivers place unreasonable burdens upon themselves because they often think that providing care is their exclusive responsibility when it really shouldn't be. You don't have to go it alone. No one expects that of you. Reach out for some help. Call Senior Helpers. They know how to match the proper caregiver with you and your loved one. Call today and let them know that I sent you. 1-877-922-STAY, STAY. That's 1-877-922-STAY. They're local and serve our immediate area. Call them today. 1-877-922-STAY. Senior Helpers. Care and comfort at a moment's notice.
Senior Helpers. Dealing with my father's illness was full of difficult decisions. Hospice of the Western Reserve gave me the peace of mind that I made the right choice.
Discover why the Hospice of Choice is Hospice of the Western Reserve at hospiceofchoice.org.
Are you looking for a relaxing and rejuvenating spa experience? Aren't we all? Well, I found the perfect place. Listen as I spend the next 2 minutes with Lisa Stewart, owner of Solia Spa in Brecksville, Ohio. She has the experience and knows how to exceed your expectations. All right, well, Lisa, tell us about the services you offer at Solia Spa and how they just might be different from every other spa.
So we offer skincare, different facials, different kind of skincare treatments for the face, and then also massages, body wraps, and of course, nails as well. We look at the skin and we address extrinsic aging, which is outside aging, and intrinsic aging, how the body ages from the inside. Core is education. So it's really important for us to educate a client, talk to him or her about their skin, their concerns, what we think, or we just want them to do what's right for their skin.
And for those of you who have not purchased a Mother's Day gift, I'm assuming there's still time to get a gift certificate to the Solia Spa for your mom. Also would make a great birthday present, or just a because I love you present for that matter. So there's still time to stop in today or give them a call. You do offer gift certificates at Solia Spa, don't you, Lisa?
We do. We offer gift cards, and something that's important to us is our gift cards do not have an expiration date on them.
And this isn't just for women.
No. We have men and women. We have teens that come in. Quite a bit of teens, actually, for acne.
So, Lisa, give us all of your contact information. Where can we find you and Solia Spa?
Solia Spa is in Brecksville, Ohio, which is south of Cleveland. And our phone number is 440-526-0522. You can find us on the web, www.soliaspa.com. Solia is S-O-L-I-A. And then spa.com. Yeah, you can find us on the internet. You can call us.
Well, thank you so much for visiting with us today. Good health begins with realizing that we deserve this kind of attention, and Solia Spa is the place to get it. And I appreciate your being here.
Thank you. It's a blessing. Thank you so much.
And make an appointment to take care of your body and spirit at the luxurious Solia Spa. Located at 6909 Royalton Road, Brecksville, Ohio. Or call them at 440-526-0522. And be sure to visit their website, soliaspa.com. You're listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, and I have to say that one of the nicest of guys is here today. He's Daryl Hicks. He is the Director of Environmental Services and Patient Transport in a 500-bed hospital outside of St. Louis, Missouri. To our listeners, he's better known as the author of the book, Infection Prevention for Dummies, and he and I just love to talk about things like hand hygiene, clean hospital rooms, and cross-contamination. We've become fine friends, and in fact, I think he may be my brother from another mother. It's always fun and informative when you're here, so welcome to the show, Daryl.
Thanks, Pat. I always look forward to this time that we have together and being able to share some insights with your listeners, and hopefully they're as big a fan of mine as I am of you and yours.
We just love having you on the show. I understand, Daryl, that the Mayo Clinic has a new white paper that talks about the difference between hand-drying methods, and this blends well with the email we received. Becky in Maryland wrote, "Pat, please ask Daryl about a disagreement I'm having with my daughter. She says in a public restroom, it's best to use the air dryer, and I say it's cleaner to use the paper towels."
This study at the Mayo Clinic is right up what I believe, and that is that paper towels do a better job because dry skin cannot harbor germs, bacteria. Whenever I use the air dryers in restrooms, first of all, there may be three sinks and one dryer, and you got two or three people washing their hands, and I'm always conscious of holding someone else up. So, you know, I kind of stand there and get close, and then I wind up walking out wiping my hands on my pants. And this study says that paper towels do a better job of drying your hands and therefore don't allow for the things that weren't necessarily killed to grow, because, you know, you and I have talked about how long we ought to be washing our hands in order to really do a thorough job of removing the soil, and along with the soil goes all the bad guys. And if we don't remove everything, if we do that one of those 5 to 7 second hand washes, then there's stuff left on our hands. And dryers are only going to get them to a semi-dry state, and then you walk out, and it gives those germs a environment, then a moist, warm environment of your skin to multiply, you know, under your rings, under your watch. So I think that the paper towels do a better job of drying your hands. And with that friction of a towel on your moist skin, the towel will remove whatever, or it has a better chance of removing the soil, and with that, the bad guys. And that's what the study at the Mayo Clinic revealed, too, was that, you know, they culture people's hands after using hand dryers, blowers, and also after paper towels. And people's hands with the same 10 to 15 second hand wash, hands were more germ free with paper towels than with blowers.
Well, that makes good sense. You know, if someone only washes their hands for 7 seconds, their hands aren't clean, and now you have that blower that blasts at the speed of sound. Is that actually blowing the germs around the restroom?
Not only blowing them around, but, you know, it's sucking air from the restroom through the blower, and restrooms are just petri dish of E. coli, salmonella, and other organisms that it may pick up from the floor. You know, they have to supply a pretty large volume of air, so they're pulling the ambient air from the restroom that's loaded with things that are unsavory at best, that then is blowing on what you consider your clean hands. And then I've always got the issue of whenever I get to the door and I've got to grab a hold of the door handle to get out, what do you use whenever you have used an electric blower? We station a trash can near the door so that people who take the paper towel with them to the door open the door, and then they can throw the paper towel away, and they haven't perhaps recontaminated their hand from the 40 to 50% of people that don't even wash their hands after using restrooms.
Absolutely. Here's my restroomology tip. When I enter a restroom and see those blowers, I then grab a bunch of toilet paper, stick it under my arm, and use that to wipe my hands after I wash them. But then that always leaves little bits of toilet paper on my hands, so be sure to pull off enough, I guessed, for 2 hand wipings and enough to open the door with. Well, that's excellent advice. It looks like Becky in Maryland won the argument with her daughter.
Okay.
All right. Well, Daryl, so much interesting and informative bathroom talk today. We call it restroomology, and I want to talk about hospital rooms and cleaning, but we'll have to save that for another time. Well, before you go, Daryl, where can we find out more information about you and what you do, and where can everyone order your book?
It's www.darrelhicks.com, DarrelHicks.com. My number is 314-956-1177.
So Infection Prevention for Dummies is a free 48-page pocket-sized handbook. I know I learned a lot from your book, Daryl, and discovered the miracle of cleaning with microfiber. Now I clean my home like a hygiene specialist. So I encourage everyone listening to get this free book. There's a small shipping and handling charge, but for a free book loaded with this kind of information, it's a must-have book, folks. And if you need more copies, Daryl offers discounted bulk rates as well. Am I missing anything, Daryl? Any final words of advice?
I think that everyone needs to know, you know, how things get spread and how best to protect you and your loved ones from possibly being a victim. But cleaning plays a very important role in all that, and I hope that people will get the book and understand that.
Oh, and Eric has something to say.
By the way, I'd like to thank Daryl for addressing the hand dryer question. I hadn't really heard much in detail about that.
Thanks, Daryl, for teaching us some valuable restroomology.
Yeah, that's a good thing to know for just every day.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your years of experience with us today. We just love having you on the show.
Thanks, Pat. I like being here, and thanks for inviting me, and thanks for the work that you do in keeping people safe.
Let's spend the next 2 minutes with Hari Khalsa, a healthcare advocate who is highlighted in my book, Speak Up and Stay Alive. Hari helps people just like you throughout the country whenever you have a healthcare-related question. Welcome to the show, Hari.
Thank you, Pat. It's always so wonderful to be here with you and your listening folks.
Yay, we love having you as well. Well, now, many times a doctor or a group of doctors come up with a treatment plan that is difficult for the average person to understand or even comply with. How can you help?
This is one of the areas that I think I can be most beneficial for people. Because being a nurse practitioner, I really understand the medical side. I understand the medications, I understand the diagnosis, and I understand the goals that the doctors are talking about. The other reason why I can be helpful is because sometimes I can pick up the pieces that are missing in the treatment plan. And what I can do is I can talk to the doctors. I can say, look, you haven't talked to this doctor and this doctor, and the treatment plan isn't whole. We need to coordinate all the pieces so that the person knows that they're getting everything they need with their treatment plan. And I can also take a look at the medications, because you'd be surprised that either the medication list isn't in one doctor's notes, it's not complete, another doctor may have really old medications. And so what I can do is look at the treatment plan and say, no, this person is actually allergic to this medicine, or this medication was stopped a long time ago. It's important to have somebody help you look at the treatment plan and know that it's the right treatment plan for you. So that's what I like to do, and that's why it's really good to have someone like me, because I do understand the medical side and I can help you understand it as well as communicate with the doctor when you're having problems.
Yes, and you're really good at what you do, so I really encourage folks from around the country, they can contact you. You don't have to be in their neighborhood. You can still work with them via phone.
So wherever you are, I'm here.
Hari, it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Pat.
All right, folks, now you don't have to be alone during a healthcare crisis. Hari is available to you and is just one phone call away. Call her to discuss and solve your healthcare needs. It's 1-866-980-4325. 1-866-980-4325. Are you a doctor, nurse, a healthcare provider? Concerned about healthcare-acquired infections? We are. Your scrubs may be dangerous to you and your patients. More than ever, you must take control of your own protection. Bleach, your mother's favorite, is still the best defense against healthcare-acquired infections. BrendaJune.com scrubs are made from exclusive woven and knit blends that provide superior fit, comfort, and performance. Pants, skirts, tops, their fabrics are durable and bleachable. If you wear scrubs, you owe it to yourself and your patients to wear scrubs responsibly. Visit BrendaJune.com for high-quality, American-made, bleachable scrubs. That's BrendaJune.com. Take control of your protection today. Visit BrendaJune.com or call 1-855-668-7278. They make a great gift too. That's BrendaJune.com. You're listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio. I am Pat Rouleau, your hostess and author of the book Speak Up and Stay Alive, the Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide, available at all of our live speaking events or at our website, speakupandstayalive.com. And let me remind you, if you are looking for a speaker for your next event, I am happy to share my expertise with your group. We can focus on patient safety and healthcare and hospital hazards, or any other variations on healthcare, including the effects of smart meters, cell phones, and other technological dangers. My presentations are always fun, fast-paced, and full of information you will not find anywhere else. So contact me, and let's talk about how we can make your next event a memorable and worthwhile experience. Call me at 440-725-5462 or email speak at speakupandstayalive.com. Your audience will thank you. And now, let's take a peek at the Speak Up and Stay Alive calendar. If you'd like to attend my next speaking event, that will be held on Wednesday, May the 14th at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Wednesday, May 14th at 10, I'll be speaking at the Seven Hills Community Recreation Center, and that's located at 7777 Summit View Drive in Seven Hills, and that is open to the public. May 14th at 10, I hope to see you there. Then the following week, May 18th through the 21st, I will be attending and speaking at the Cleveland Clinic's Patient Experience Summit. That should be an outstanding event, so especially if you are associated with a hospital or a medical group, I urge you to attend. Just Google Cleveland Clinic Patient Experience Summit, or you can call me for more details. 440-725-5462. Well, today, we lightened the mood with lots of mother's wisdom, or not. And I'm so happy that my mom and daughter joined us. It's a special weekend to celebrate our moms, and if you're a mom, or a mom-to-be, to celebrate yourself. So do something fun, or just stay home and be quiet and safe, but make it a special day. Now, if you missed some of today's show, it's not too late to hear it all. We make it easy for you. Just go to the radio link at the speakupandstayalive.com website. Click the link with today's date. And again, that's where you can also purchase my book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide. And be sure to come back next week. Always have so much to share with you. So tell your friends, mark your calendars, and set your alarms for next week. Same time, same place, but never the same information. And a special thank you to my Cleveland listeners who tune in to both of our Saturday morning shows. And you know who you are. From 7 to 8 on AM 1420 WHK, and then again from 9 to 10 on AM 1220 WHKW, and in the Warren Youngstown area from 9 to 10 on AM 1440 WHKZ. A great morning lineup. I appreciate that you are interested to listen twice. Or you can listen live via the internet. Just check the speakupandstayalive.com website to find out how. Start your week with an O. Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio. And until next week, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am your guide to safe and successful healthcare and hospital encounters.
Want even more information? Purchase a copy of Pat's book at speakupandstayalive.com. Once again, it's speakupandstayalive.com. Or you can call Pat at 440-725-5462. Until next week, remember, it's okay to ask others to wash their hands. You have to speak up and stay alive.